Welcome to Designing AI Heroes, where AI and people align to drive productivity and innovation. This is the podcast that empowers businesses and individuals to integrate AI into their workflows and workplace, unlocking their full potential in the digital age. We bring you insights, strategies, and real-world applications to help you be an AI hero and stay ahead. Let's dive in.
Welcome to another episode in the Designing AI Hero podcast. And I'm very happy to welcome Sophie Rafa today. And we're talking about AI in Qatar, in Europe, the AI markets. What are the differences about AI technology? And to announce, to get some formal in it, this will be part one of a small podcast series we will do together to cover some very interesting and nice topic around AI.
Hi, Nadine. Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie Rafa, digital marketing and AI consultant and freelancer blogger. So I'm super happy to take part at this conversation because currently AI is a really hot topic. And as you mentioned, not only in Europe, but also worldwide. And I also do believe that we should also talk about a couple of points and also to make clear a couple of definitions before we really start implementing AI. So a little bit background about me. With more than 15 years experience on digital marketing and more than 10 years experience with technology marketing, I'm more than excited to take part in this conversation and hopefully with all my insights from Europe, from Middle East, as well as global, can help you move forward with your AI journey.
Yeah, thanks. So there is a lot of hype around AI and out there, and it's really important to clarify things and make things understandable. And we both work very internationally, I think. So you live in Germany and you travel the world for conferences. And I have my office also in Germany, but I live in Belgium and I work a bit around with UK, Benelux and worldwide, and not worldwide, but mostly European based companies. So the first question would be, are there any differences between markets, worldwide regions, countries when it comes to AI?
Oh, okay. So let's get started with Qatar. So there was a really incredible experience to take part at the Web Summit Qatar as a freelancer journalist and blogger. And I also had the opportunity to talk some of the representatives from the Qatar business environment. So recently, I just published a really nice article with Hamad Al-Hayri, who is the CEO of Snoonu, which is currently a unicorn in this region. But there were also a couple of really interesting insights in Qatar, what I learned and what we could also implement here in Europe. So starting with the government initiatives. So I think not too many people know that not only Qatar, the Qatari government supports the startups, but also the EU. So currently, there are initiatives such as the Horizon Europe, which is an EU flagship for R&D programs. And this is actually a co-financing program for innovation and data management. Also, we have here in Europe, the Digital Europe program, which is an AI fund for data spaces and digital skill buildings. Then we can also have the list over and over again. And then, we can also talk about the Interreg Europe, which is a support for digital innovations. When it comes to Middle East, then the other really important point, what I would like to highlight, which could be beneficial for European innovators, is to adopt a culture. Because also here in Europe, we have so many different countries, cultures, nationalities. And what I learned over there from the Snoonu team is basically to really shape your campaigns as well as initiatives for the different cultures. So it means that the different cultures have different needs, have different backgrounds. And once you take care about all these things, you can also personalize all your campaigns and messages. And also what I really loved is the community-led marketing initiatives. So especially in Middle East, we can also talk about Dubai and also other bigger hubs. Currently, there are a lot of micro influencers on TikTok and Instagram. And yeah, basically they are selling properties. So for a huge amount of money is already circulating in these communities. And all what we should start doing is to somehow identify these people and also starting working together with them. Because currently in Europe, when it comes to marketing, we are still really relying on the old-fashioned PPC, so pay-per-click campaigns and maybe working with publishers. But we tend to forget that nowadays the whole TikTok brought us a completely different business model as well. When it comes to different cultures, it was a really interesting talk where we also participated like a week ago. Aaron Peters from AI Maturity Index started the conversation about culture and how culture can influence AI adoptions. Maybe Nadine, you remembered because you have also...
Yeah, she talked about what is really going on in Germany. And I also see that German companies are hesitating to implement AI, or there are a lot of initiatives, but in my way, it's not in a strategic level, so that we have a roadmap like, okay, this is the AI potential. What does it mean for our business? How to integrate it and have a company-wide program to onboard everything? And as the next thing, AI first. So I hear a lot of it in the US or also in other world regions. We become AI first. What does it mean? So yeah, it really means integrating AI, not only train people and have ChatGPT running from, or I ask something on ChatGPT when I have a question. That's not AI first. This is an AI support. AI is first. It's really having a mindset, thinking about your workflows in the business and where AI can add value, and then really integrating AI step by step. And that's not happening in Germany.
And how would you define personally, what is AI first approach in business?
AI first approach in business for me is you look at your workflow from a business aspect. You see, okay, where can we add different AI approaches in our workflow? It can be from AI chatbot to manual automatic workflows to automatic work AI workflows to AI agent. I mean, that's the level when we talk about AI approaches. You have AI chatbot up to AI agents, and there are different approaches between what you can do, and not every approach is the best fit. So if you decide which approach is the best fit, or is the data so bad, when we integrate AI, we still have a bad process based on data. It's a wider and broader approach for me, not only, oh, we integrate Copilot and ChatGPT in, or we do meeting transcripts, and then we have a transcript. Yeah, we use AI, we are AI first. That is not the AI first mindset. It's really thinking about a new way of doing things and a way of doing things different than before.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And just a little add, like last week, I started reading a couple of blogs from Cassie Kosiarkoff. So she's Google's first chief decision scientist. And she had a really interesting article. It was about please cheat at your job. So basically, she asked a couple of questions like adopt an improvement mindset. So how can I do better, easier and faster the already existing processes and mechanisms? And also, can we scale the impossible? So basically, she's also highlighting the fact that let's start utilizing AI, but first let's define certain processes and then moving forward. But also doing this whole automation and all these processes with responsibility. So just taking care about the data, where it comes from and all those things. And also it shouldn't be a kind of secret that use AI, because many times in my conversations, I heard from people like, oh, I don't want to let for my boss know that I'm doing this, because then he's going to think, oh, that's so easy.
I'm cheating.
Yeah, maybe, exactly. Yeah. And that's also a big issue, because then shadow AI comes into the conversation, which means basically that there are the certain approved processes, but then on top there are these secretly used AI tools, which doesn't really bring too much value for long term, because if they are not integrated into the system, then how can the whole machine learn from your past and then utilize all this information into the present? So that's also a kind of trend, what we observe currently here in Europe.
Everybody now speaking about agentic AI. When you go to Microsoft Copilot, it's always an agentic AI, but it's not an agentic AI. It's just marketing from Microsoft. You have to understand, we have to become AI savvy. We don't have to be the tech experts or the programmers, but we have to understand, okay, this is an AI workflow, this is an AI chatbot, this is an AI agent, and what does this mean? What's the difference? And the difference is also where, and then it comes back to the business, to my workflows, and also to my risk management, where do I have the human in the loop? Where can the AI run automatically? Okay, I set it up and it's running. Or where do I have the human in the loop? So not thinking about when it comes to HR for hiring, would you like to hire your talents from agentic AI? No, there should be human in the loop. So you also have a risk management. Okay, what is really a risky workflow? Where can AI support? Where can it run it automatically? And where have a human to check the whole thing and make the final decision? So that's also an AI first mindset. I don't have to have an AI agent everywhere and say, yeah, we have AI agents now, we are so great. Yeah, first mindset is thinking about the different approaches, what makes sense, can learn that and understand that.
I completely understand you. And Nadine, I just invite you for a short conversation about to put all the things together on the puzzle. So what is chatbot? What is AI assistant? What is automation? What is agentic AI? So I would say, once if we put all these things together, then everyone can understand us maybe a bit easier, because many times I see that people are talking about ChatGPT as it would be the one and only thing and nothing else would exist. But I think it's also important to realize that we already have already existing systems, so such as the chatbots, which are already here for a long time ago. So they are basically a rule-based or scripted systems which designed to simulate conversations, but everything is pre-designed. So many times, also in the past 10 years, there were tons of chatbots everywhere integrated. So it was basically a kind of question, and then there were some predefined answers. And based on this funnel, you could go down. So it was a kind of no memory or learning, and it was actually as good as the script it was. From your perspective, what is an AI assistant?
An AI assistant is like, you take ChatGPT Copilot, you ask a question, and you use the data from the LLM, from a large language model. So you don't give any data to it. You just use a large language model to have a problem solved. Then the next thing, the next level is, okay, I give data to the system. So not, I don't use the large language model or the data from the large language model. I enrich the data for this specific task. I upload a document. It's very easy. It's only use my data. So, yeah. And I know which data is used. Okay, you also have a hallucination then a bit. You have to care, but you know which data is used. And then it's automatic workflow. So then it's set up like the AI workflow gets the data from somewhere.
Exactly.
But the trigger is not you. It doesn't to be a human. You can also say, okay, every Friday you search for studies from the internet, sum it up, send me everything into an email.
Oh, I love this
That's
example.
Also for my learning, or when I say, okay, I have to have the updates every Friday afternoon from the week.
Yeah,
so the trigger is every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, the AI gets triggered, goes automatic in an RSS feed or something like this, searching for new or in your company, in your SharePoint searches for new documents, sum it up, sends you an update via an email, and you are updated about topics.
Yeah,
there's no human in the loop. There is no human in the loop because you know what's doing, you know which data is accessed, and you know what's happening in the workflow, and the output is always the same.
Exactly.
And the next level is agentic AI.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
It comes, it's the same like an automatic AI workflow, but the agentic AI can work together with other AIs and access a large language model, which is the best to answer the question. You can't predict the output. So
exactly. And the system also learns from the last action.
It's learning. It has a huge memory, and that's a problem. For example, when agentic AI hiring people, you don't know the output. So
yeah,
you don't know why this person is rejected and why this person is hired. You don't know it.
Yeah, and
the
also
decision is up to the AI.
Yeah, definitely. And I also see as a kind of threat from my marketing experience regards to agentic AI, because it depends on the certain look back window. So how long from my past, so that's the whole system takes all the data, because we also had a couple of marketing campaigns, and many times the issue was when we store the data. So obviously store the data means like we used data from the past 1 year, but within 1 year, so many things can change in people's life. So if we say that, if we go for dating, so for example, there is a single person, then goes for a date, maybe half a year later, they are already planning their wedding. And then after 9 months, the little kid comes. So within 1 year or 2 years, so many things can come up. So the system must learn, but not really taking all the past data into account. Otherwise, yeah, the system is going to hallucinate. And I think that's one of the biggest challenge what the agentic AI should somehow solve for long term. So what should be the look back window? In terms of data, I think it's super important.
Okay, I think that was a nice part one of our podcast series. We talked about the different AI approaches and hope it's clearer than before. In the next episode, in part two, we talk about what these different approaches means for your business, how to apply it, what are different steps, and what about the data?
Exactly.
Sophia, many thanks to attend part one, and I'm really excited to part two in the next couple of weeks. Thank you for your time. Have a nice day, and many greetings to Frankfurt.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine. Let's make things sophisticated together. Ciao, ciao.
I like this. Bye.
That's a wrap for this episode of Designing AI Heroes. If you enjoyed today's discussion, be sure to subscribe and to leave us a review. Stay connected with us at www.designingaiheroes.com for more insights, resources, and updates. Until next time, keep innovating and designing the future, one AI-powered step at a time.